Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Want to find your true love? Well, is the internet your answer? Well, we're going to give you some information that may startle you. We're going to take a look at the way the internet affects our relationships, our communications, and how the crooks use us to defraud us when we're looking for true love. Let me tell you, there's a lot of things out there you want to know. My guest is Jill Robin Payne. She is a board-certified professional counselor and relationship specialist, and she has a new book out entitled Meeting People, It's Not a Game. Jill, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
Thank you, Shirley. Thank you for having me.
Now, your book is fun, but we're really going to talk about one segment of it, and that's internet dating. We'll talk about some of the other things as well, because I love your comments on manners and how texting interferes with relationships. There's a whole lot of, there's so much stuff in there for relationships, not just when you're seeking a true, looking for a life partner.
Right.
But let's first start out talking about how the internet, how technology has changed the way we communicate, because you see this when you're counseling couples or singles. You see a lot of problems because of texting and other devices getting in the way of relationships and communication. Am I correct?
Yes, you are very correct. And what is funny is that the older people, the baby boomers, were not so much affected as the younger people from 18 to 29. For instance, the people from 18 to 29 get irritated and bothered when their partner is on the phone, on the cell phone. Whereas us baby boomers, about 25% get upset.
Oh, really? Now, I'm surprised. I would have thought it would be just the other way around.
Exactly. It's really funny because I will get people to talk to me, these young people, and they'll say, I just cannot stand texting, yet that's how they communicate. And they do it because they believe, it's their belief system, they believe it's easier and less anxiety-provoking, which in actuality, it provokes more anxiety.
Well, because it does just the opposite, because using text to try to communicate ideas, emotions,
right.
To me, that's almost impossible to do.
Right, and that's why they have the emoticons, but they don't seem to work very well. So there's a lot of fights that occur, and that I do have that in my book about the do's and don'ts about texting.
Yeah.
Because texting is for connecting, not conversing. And so people are using it as conversational, and it's causing problems because people are forgetting what they started to text with by the end of the text.
It's supposed to help us communicate, and in fact, it gets in the way many times.
Exactly.
Well, I don't care. To me, a symbol of emotion is not the same as expressing an emotion with my voice to a person. I mean, I use text. I love text because it gives me the ability to do something in a hurry if I don't have time for a conversation, but I like to follow up with a conversation.
Exactly. And psychologists will tell you that 60% of communication or more is body language. So you really don't get much from an email or a text.
That's right. I hadn't thought about that, but of course, the way we look, the way we sound, the way our body stance, our whether we're leaning forward. You talk about that in your book too. What your body posture says about you in terms of
And one reason, Shirley, I wrote this book was because I was getting so many clients and people that because they're texting, they're losing the ability to read verbal cues or physical cues. And so that's the reason I wrote this book. So it gets people to realize if they just pick their head up above their cell phone, they might find Mr. or Miss Wright right in front of them.
I hadn't thought about it in those terms, about the fact that you're losing out on the body language, which is a big part of communication. I mean, communication is all things. It's your voice level. It's your facial expressions. It's your body posture. It's just a ton of things. And you talk about those things.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And so people, because of their mindset today, they're raised with being on the computer, being on these cell phones. So therefore, they find it much easier to converse that way. So therefore, now they're going more to the internet to meet people. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, 10% of Americans are now online on dating sites.
Wow, that's a lot, yeah, considering all the, there's a large percentage of our population that's married. So that's a large percentage of the single population,
right,
looking for,
right,
love and maybe sometimes all the wrong places. Because we at Call
exactly
for Action, we hear about some stories that would be funny if they weren't heartbreaking about people who've been taken on the internet. So let's talk about some of the things. Now, I know you've done a bit of research on what happens on dating sites, for example.
Right.
And it's, go ahead.
I was going to tell you, there's something called catfish. And it was so famous and popular, it turned out to be a show on TV, one of those fun reality shows.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how it started was a young kid was conversing with a young, beautiful woman or young lady in her 20s, he thought. And it turned out that she was an older lady. And so he termed it catfish because there's a story about catfishes. And so the story is that fishermen many years ago would deliver codfish from Alaska to China, and they would do this and keep them in these tanks in the boats. And they would do it so they'd keep them alive, and they thought that the flesh would be fresh and they'd taste good. But what they found out was the fish got bored, and so their flesh was mushy and didn't taste very good.
Oh, my
so
goodness.
Somebody thought of putting catfish in there, and they don't like catfish. So they would run after the catfish, and therefore they became tastier because their muscles were better. So what we call catfish are people that keep us on the move, keep us active, keep us questioning. And these are people that usually are doing what we call romance scams, and they will take you for a lot of money. And they do this by getting you to fall for them.
And it's like the catfish, you're making things active and starting the adrenaline going.
Well, you're running after them. They keep you guessing. They say that, oh, they're going to come see you, but they cancel out. And then they tell you all these different things that are happening. And what's a big thing now is they're using photographs of our army men or our military men. Because when you think of our military, you think of trusting them, correct?
Yes.
So they steal these pictures.
They pretend to be. Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And they even have sites now on the web that you can check to see if the photo is real. And they even have a site that is for scams. It's called Romance Scams. And you go on there, and it'll tell you how to prevent from being scammed.
Oh, my goodness. It's gotten to be big business, hasn't it? And, of course, really you need to be suspect if you're communicating with somebody who's in another country. We had one man say, oh, I just got this picture from this beautiful woman. She was in some Baltic country, and he said she wants me to send money because she was going to come here. Of course she was going to come. He had no idea who he was talking to. He was being preyed on because he was vulnerable. Let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Jill Robin Payne. She is a board-certified professional counselor and relationship specialist. She has a new book out called Meeting People, It's Not a Game. And I'll tell you, Jill, even though I'm a long time married and very committed to my husband, there's a lot of stuff in here for people on developing relationships and just learning to listen. I love your section, on listen and manners. But let's go back to the scams, the romance scams. Now, I believe before we went on the air, you were telling me that the BBB has done a study of the 10 worst dating sites.
Right.
Is that right?
They said in 2011 that it was one of the top 10 scam sites,
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. So
go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
People can find these information on these scam sites. Now, of course, that's a little bit old, but that's typical of a lot of surveys and studies.
Right. Well, what's happening now is a lot of the baby boomers are going on the sites. In the last 10 years, it's doubled. More of the ages in the baby boomers are going on, and they're lonely and vulnerable. And so they're an easy prey. And so these predators go after them and tell them that they love them and give them pet names and might even send them gifts. And so they draw them in. As soon as they draw them in and they're trusting, then they start asking for money.
Yeah. either right. to come and see you or because I have a child that's sick. And oh, yeah, that the stories, the heartbreaking stories that can go on. So really, the internet is a mixed blessing in many ways
right.
in terms of trying to meet someone or as right. well as trying to communicate through using
right.
that.
Yeah, there's this professor who's a psychologist, Barry Schwartz, and he wrote a book called The Paradox of Choice, Why More is Less. And we have too much on the internet, and it's causing us to be overwhelmed and making bad choices.
Wow.
So this is a concern, and we just need to educate the people and so that they're aware of it and go a little bit slower in the virtual world.
Okay. Now, let's talk about some of the things that you talk about in relationships. And as I said earlier, I don't think that your book is not just for singles looking for true love. I think it's for people. I mean, it's got a lot of advice for just developing relationships, how to relate to people, how to keep yourself right. interesting and interested.
That's true.
I love your section on manners. You want to tell us a little bit about manners?
Oh, well, manners today have sort of gone out the window, and manners are different than etiquette. It's really just respecting people's boundaries, and so you'll find people on their cell phones, in the grocery store, yelling and screaming, telling about their business. You're in a restaurant with your love of your life, wanting to have a romantic evening, and right beside you, somebody is on their cell phone. So basically, it's just being aware of other people, and I think we've lost that ability. We're mainly aware of us, and we're not really aware of what we are doing in our surroundings.
We're a little bit self-centered because we're focused on our little device.
Right.
Just a little. That yep. device that's in our hand, we're focusing
right.
on that. That's the center of our world, right?
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
I see people in my neighborhood, Jill, and this is what astonishes yeah. me. They will be
right.
talking on their cell phone.
Right.
And they're walking. They're out taking their walk. And
yes.
I think they're not even looking at the things around them. They're not looking at the flowers or the birds or anything.
Right.
I mean, it's just like, I think, well, why don't they? I'm surprised they don't fall on the road because they get
well,
so focused on their gadgets sometimes.
Speaking of that, I'm going to let you know that you get tickets in New Jersey if you are texting and walking.
You're
yeah.
kidding me.
And,
really?
And I
love it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I think they're working on that in New York because people have caused traffic jams.
Well, they could walk. They could walk right into a person.
They do. Yes.
Instead of a car accident, it's a person accident.
It's a person accident.
Yeah.
So that'll be another book. But anyway, so what I do is I just tell people to respect other people. Put your phone away. You do not need to carry it with you when you're walking, or you do not need to put it out when you're eating dinner with somebody. So these are just basic. Being concerned for other people's boundaries.
Yeah, yeah, boundaries. And you know, the interesting thing throughout your book is that texting, communications, the communications part of it is so important. You talk about that in so many chapters in your book. And how so many things get in the way of our communicating. I think that seems to me to be the heart of what you're talking about here. A lot of it is the way we communicate and whether or not we do it in an effective manner. And you're helping people to do that, whether it's by, as you point out, the way we dress, the colors
right.
we wear. I think
right.
all of those things make a lot of difference.
Right. It's just, I used a couple of analogies so people could understand. Just like when I talk to married couples, I'll say that marriage is a job. It's not work. It's a job. And you have a role. If, you know, President Obama or somebody gave you a job and you were going to assist them, and then he starts asking you, would you please make the phone calls for me? And you just start, excuse me, pick your nose and you don't do it, you get fired.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
what happens
yeah.
in, yeah. So what happens in relationships is we just sort of fall down on our job.
I totally understand that. Okay, so we really need to make certain that what we're doing is being effective also in terms
right.
of communicating. That to me,
right.
where you talk about how we're saying it and practicing, I liked your practicing pickup lines. Excuse me, but your elevator points, those were elevator lines, is that what you call
them? The elevator pitch, yes.
I love that. That was so
right.
funny because you know what? That could be useful in a conversation where you're not trying to, if you're going to a party and you're a stranger in town and you don't know anybody, why not practice some lines, your elevator lines for just meeting people, whether you want it to be a romance or not?
Right, exactly. And the reason I put that in there is because a lot of the people today are feeling anxious when they get around people because they're used to really texting people when they are sitting right by them. They'll text people when they're sitting right by them.
Oh, my God, I've seen this.
So I put that elevator pitch there so that they could have something that would sort of warm them up and warm other people up to them easily.
Well, think about it before you go to this party and have some things in your mind that might be clever, but don't sound too rehearsed, I would think.
Right.
Yeah, you don't want to sound like you're reading notes.
Right, you want to sound refreshing.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
But to me, this just was, it was practical. The things you were saying were practical. By the way, I should tell our listeners that you are the daughter of a very dear friend of mine. But that's not why I wanted to do this interview with you, because I just thought this was, you were very good. You're very well respected in your profession. And I thought your book was great. So that's
Thank you.
We're going to take a brief pause here, Jill, to let everybody know that they're listening to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Jill Robin Payne. She is a board-certified professional counselor and relationship specialist. And her new book is Meeting People, It's Not a Game. And believe me, it really isn't. You know, techniques for meeting people and being more comfortable. And I used to teach a class in assertive communications. And one of the things we always told people was that you really need to see it in your mind before you do it. Practice it if you want to. You know, practice meeting somebody if you're uncomfortable, if you're not one of those people who's gifted and just walk into a room and feel at home.
Right, exactly. I think I even have that in the book about envision how you're going to meet your person and how the date's going to go.
Yeah, exactly.
That is in the book.
That seemed to me such very, very relevant advice. Okay, we've covered some of the things. What to you is the most significant things in developing a relationship with someone? Now, you've put a lot of things in your book, but is there one thing in particular that stands out?
Yes. Be authentic. And because many times you read these self-help books and they'll tell you to be somebody that you're not. And you really need to be you. You may need to tone it down a bit or tone it up a bit. If you're not you, they're going to get somebody that's fake. And by the time you get your relationship, you're going to have problems. So it's very, very important to be authentic and be real.
And you do talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And then the other thing I talk about is to go slow. Because of our technology, we've been going too fast, and that's a lot of reasons why I think people want to go on the internet. And matter of fact, there was this study done that women on the internet, is it 50% will sleep with the person on the first date because the internet gives a false feel of comfortability or just it's like you know that person, you've known them for weeks when you really haven't.
Yeah.
So it's an issue.
And can be a real problem because you could be jumping into something with someone that you really don't know.
Exactly. And that's where the romance scams come up. And that's, so in my book, I say, take it slow. Sit back, listen, and look.
Yeah, you caution people about that and about if you actually meet someone on the internet, you want to meet them. Go to a safe place. Go to some public place.
And I tell people to go ahead to Walmart. It's not my favorite place, but go to Walmart. And they have these little cell phones that are good. They're disposable. Mm-hmm. And you get them, and that's what you give the number to the person on the internet.
Oh, smart, Jill. I like that very much.
Very important. And you meet them in a safe place. You tell people on the first date, you tell your friends, your family where you're going, when you're to get back, and you give them access to your number so they can get you.
So the idea here is that you're giving out an innocuous phone number. They cannot harass you over that number because you can throw it away.
Exactly.
I think that's a fabulous idea. Matter of fact, that's a fabulous idea for women or men to anyway when they're first starting dating someone.
Right.
And that's not really talking about being untrustworthy. That's just about, you know, as you said, establishing the realities of a relationship. whether or not you can trust that person, because you don't really know. I mean, there are a lot of strange people out in this world, Jill.
Exactly. Well, you know what, Shirley? Something happens to us. If we met somebody in the office, a girlfriend, and we just met her in the office, it was our first day at work, it would take us months to get to trust her.
Mm-hmm.
But something happens when it's emotional connection. If it's the opposite sex, we just think, oh, right away, the chemistry is fabulous, and I love them, and that's not love.
<It's> some sort of attraction that may or may not last.
Time.
That may
well,
or may not
time.
Last. It takes work, too, Jill.
It does. It takes time and work.
It takes time and work. Okay.
It does.
So rubbernecking, which I thought was such a cute section.
Great.
Yeah. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, I was thinking of one of my favorite singers, which is Elvis Presley, and he has a song, Stop, Look, and Listen. And basically, that's what you want to do. You want to get people to stop, look, and listen in this world that's filled with people being on their phones. So you want to stand out, and you want to do it in a good way. And there's something called proximity principle. And what they did was, in 1950, they found out that we are more prone to date people that were around in close proximity. So in other words, you could meet someone in your neighborhood if you would just stand out and get noticed. So I have people do different things, such as what you'd wear. Color is very important. People don't realize that. If you look at you go out to the grocery store, most people are in black. So I tell people to put color on. And pink is a very good color for women. Every woman looks good in a color of pink. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. Because I rarely wear pink.
And matter of fact, I will tell you this. If you want to win an argument, wear pink.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I'll remember that the next time I'm trying to convince my husband to do something. He won't know what hit him.
And you know what? It's so funny because I tell my clients that your surroundings are very important. There's something called misattribution. And so people will misattribute your surroundings with you. So if you give them a hot cup of coffee or a hot cup of soup and you put it in their hands, they will warm up to you.
Isn't that amazing? I saw that in your book. I was fascinated by that.
Yes. Yeah. And they won't even know what you're doing. Basically, what you want is you want people to feel comfortable. You want to be approachable. So it's not, you are not doing anything. It's not a game. Just like my book says, meeting people, it's not a game. You're being real. You're promoting an environment to make yourself and the other person comfortable and feel safe.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, I think that is so much better than you're going into a meeting with someone. You're extremely nervous. You don't know what.
Right.
I mean, you know, if you at least kind of do your own little rehearsal beforehand, or your imagery, as I call it,
exactly.
It helps. It helps whether it's a job interview, meeting a new person, going into a party where you don't know anyone, or just seeing yourself acting confident makes a difference. Yeah.
And I talk about practicing. So even doing mirror work.
Yes, you
know,
do. I saw that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the more you practice, the better you are.
Yeah. It gives you more confidence in that you know what you're going to do, and you have a great deal of comfort. Jill, I can't believe our time's gone. It's been such fun talking with you. It really
has.
It's
been great.
It's really great. Wonderful information for people. And if you
want it,
the website is chatwithjill.com, chatwithjill.com. And the book is Meeting People, It's Not a Game by Jill Robin Payne. And, you know, it's been a lot of fun. I do think that my concern is really what technology is doing to us in terms of relationships, even in terms of learning to write, because texting is not writing. So in some of the applications, when we've gotten applications for jobs, some of those letters are terrible. People need to pay attention to writing. Anyway, that's it for us, Jill. Thank you so much. Jill Robin Payne, a board certified professional counselor and relationship specialist. The book, Meeting People, It's Not a Game. I'm Shirley Rooker. You're listening to us right here on 1500 AM. Thank you.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.